I had two or three thoughts. Actually, one of them was actually not my thought. It was provided to me by my ex-sister-in-law, who I think quite correctly said that one of the things that hurt Bush in that debate was that, in fact, you know, it's sort of like why you don't necessarily want UConn to play really crappy teams for the first five games and then play somebody really good, because they don't have any idea, for the obvious reasons. And it probably has hurt Bush that he's had these incredibly stage-managed public appearances, that everywhere he's been, you know, the crowds are pre-selected and they have to sign loyalty oaths and give, you know, their babies as escrow and stuff, you know. I mean, they have to sort of do all this sort of ridiculous stuff. So
become blood brothers.
Yeah. And so, you know, basically he's never encountered people who don't applaud wildly at anything he has to say, no matter how pedestrian it is. And he certainly hasn't had much experience encountering people who actually actively disagree with him. And so, when they kept panning to him, they kept showing those reaction shots, and he had that sort of weird look on his face. I think part of the problem was, I don't think he'd ever really heard anybody disagree with him before. You know, he just hasn't had a lot of experience of somebody else standing there, ramrod tall, saying, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, he's a crummy president, and I don't believe what he just said. He had no preparation for that. And you know, he's been so carefully cosseted and surrounded by people who support him that I just think, you know, I think that's really hurt him a lot. I mean, that, once again, this is my ex-sister-in-law's observation, but I think she's correct about that. And that the other thing that I thought was, when I was watching him, I thought, it's almost like he's never seen John Kerry before. I don't know if I've said this on the air yet or not, but when he started the debate, he kind of looked like he'd heard about John Kerry, and his advisors had said, well, he's kind of a pansy, you know, who can't make up his mind about anything, and he windsurfs, and, you know. And he was picturing this kind of, you know, limp-wristed kind of, you know, Scarlet Pimpernel kind of guy. And then here's like this big, tall guy who's sitting there, and he's kind of, you know, his body language was very sort of authoritative and stuff. I think Bush was looking over and going, that's not the guy they told me I was debating.
Yeah, bring out the real guy.
Yeah, they told me I was debating like Paul Lynde or something. Paul Lynde with a French accent. So, I don't understand. Who's this big tall guy who looks kind of scary over there? Who is that? So, I mean, there was a little bit of that, too. I think it was like, what's happening here? That's not the person they told me about. And then the third thing is, and this kind of goes along with the first thing, you know, it was so much of what he said, and I know you and I talked about this off the air, so much of what Bush would say at certain points was, well, that's not very good. I mean, if you want to be commander-in-chief, and here you are, like, criticizing me and my military policies, that's not being a good commander-in-chief. He can't be commander-in-chief if he says stuff like that. I mean, he's apparently under the impression that no one can criticize his policies without being unpatriotic or a bad commander-in-chief, including the person who's trying to get his job away from him. Which is just not how it works. It's not how it's ever worked. But that idea, I think he's been allowed to think that. He really is like a little kid who's never, you know, it's like a little kid who's never had any rules, and they go to kindergarten for the first time and they just have no idea how to follow anybody else's rules because no structures have ever been imposed on them. He was kind of like that. You know, I can't have juice whenever I want during this debate. What do you mean?
That's not right.
At home I can.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's Rick in West Hartford. Rick.
Hey, Griffin, Colin. How are you today?
Good.
Listen, yesterday, Colin, you mentioned about how Fox News intentionally published completely fictional stories about John Kerry on their website after the debate.
Yeah.
I have read what little I can. This is not a rhetorical question. I'm really asking, why is this not bigger news? I mean, considering all the things that happened with CBS, you kind of asked in passing, really, I mean, you worked in the media, you have media people in the building. Can someone explain to me why a major news organization making things up and then saying, yep, we just made that up. Why is this not bigger news? I don't get it.
Here's my answer to this. I think the answer is because it only ever happened on the Internet, which I'm not offering this as a defense on behalf of Fox or anything like that, mind you. But I think the answer, I've thought a little bit about this, and not only that, but, never mind. But I thought a little bit about this. I think that it's an event that's confined to the internet. Now, it's exactly like the Dan Rather thing in the sense that the people who detected this were bloggers, watchful bloggers in the night, up in their guard towers. They were the ones who picked up this whole thing, and, I mean, you can actually watch the unfolding of it on the internet if you know which blogs to hit and stuff like that. Josh Marshall was one of the people who got onto it, and I think a blog called Eschaton, E-S-C-H-A-T-O-N. I don't know. I happen to be reading a lot of blogs this week for another reason, so that's kind of how I got onto this. But I think that there's sort of a sense of, well, it only ever happened on the internet, so it's not really as important as other things.
All right. I guess that's one way to look at it. That really was a sincere question.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good question, too, and that's my answer. That's my sincere answer. And I think it's every bit as intellectually dishonest, if not more so. I mean, I said this yesterday. This is a case where a Fox reporter intentionally made stuff up and posted it on the official Fox website. Now, to my mind, that's a greater sin than Dan Rather getting taken to the cleaners because he wasn't persistent enough or careful enough or maybe even, you know, ignored certain warnings coming from other people. I mean, that's bad, too. And you know, even Bob Schieffer was on Larry King last night kind of kicking Dan's ass a little bit. That's bad. I'm not letting Dan Rather off the hook for that. But,
and if I were CBS, this is what I would be saying. Listen, we messed up. It happens when you're in business for long enough. They did this intentionally. Mm-hmm. Look at how bad we're not. I mean, look at how much worse this was.
Well, you know, the other thing is, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the show yesterday, I mean, another thing that happened that nobody has dealt with or apologized for, except bloggers who have dealt with this, is this whole John Kerry, "Who among us does not love NASCAR?" quote, which is endlessly repeated as proof that Kerry is this effete snob, except that he never said it. As far as I can tell, I mean, the bloggers have kind of gone to town on this, and the source they can figure out, Maureen Dowd ascribed this to him in a column that's kind of, once again, a fictional thing, which other New York Times people then picked up and printed as actual news, like he'd actually said this. And, you know, and it's acquired the status of, God forbid, a meme, you know? It's like this thing now that just keeps replicating, but it's not true, and the New York Times hasn't made it clear yet that it's not true. So there you go. Anyway, I guess we have to go.
Thanks.
Here's the thing. You know, we were talking the other day. We were getting some calls about how the blogs were saying that Kerry pulled some note cards.
Yes, he did. Yep.
And stuff like that. Okay. Well, no, the latest thing is, and I commend this to you. This really has like. I had to carefully make sure that Bill Heald didn't put this website up. But there's a website now called isbushwired.com. And it's a clearinghouse for about whether President Bush uses an earpiece through which he's fed lines and cues by offstage advisors.
Well, I'd get some new ones after the other night.
Well, that's the thing. It's like he's cheated and he's still crashed and burned. But there's like a whole bunch of people who basically think that even in the debate, they thought that they could see this kind of weird little bulge in his jacket. There's on his website, you can take a look at it. There's a kind of an over-the-shoulder shot, and there is some kind of squarish object that's in his jacket.
Well, maybe because, you know, it's a president. He has to keep in constant communications with people, you know, in case something should happen.
But more than that, for example, when Bush spoke at D-Day ceremonies in France last June, viewers watching on CNN, Fox, and MSNBC were startled to hear another voice speaking Bush's words as if to prompt him. Some said this continued into the Q&A. On the night of September 11th, when Bush
That's
appeared on
really
television
sad.
To address the nation, viewers of one television station in Quincy, Massachusetts, heard another voice speaking slowly and carefully, a few words at a time, words which were then recited by the president. Well, I actually made some phone calls about this today and found out that that's not uncommon. That, I mean, not just for Bush, but there are other people who do it. That what they're called earbuds, and there are wireless ones. Ones, you know, where no wire shows. You have to wear some other stuff under your clothes, but there is such a thing as a wireless earbud, and that it's not unusual to have two or three policy guys. I mean, one Republican operative I talked to today said, yeah, well, really, the days of briefing books are over. You know, it's basically, they just tell them, you know, what to say. And it kind of explains things. Including, explain some of the mistakes that Bush makes. Because if you look at this website, which is, once again, is called www.isbushwired.com, there are some examples of things that he said where it seems like, you know, maybe he just didn't hear what the person was saying the right way, or he didn't understand the word that was being said to him, particularly when it's like a press conference kind of situation and he's being given things to say that he's not really anticipating. So anyway, I mean, if you want to read more about that, that's there.
But well, that may be fine for an event like, you know, some one of his campaign mm-hmm. events or something like that, or other circumstances, but wouldn't this be kind of cheating during these debates if you were just doing that?
If it's like you did it during the debates, that would be cheating. Now, it's interesting, the agreement, that 32-page agreement, did in fact bar shots of the candidates from the rear of the stage, but the networks wouldn't go along with it, so they shot their own shots. And then, as this website writes, many viewers thus saw a squarish bulge the size of a large battery pack under the back of Bush's suit jacket, with an S-shaped cord appearing to snake up the right side of his back. Several blogs have carried speculation that it was an audio receiver. So,
oh, that's great.
So, I don't know. If it was an audio receiver, there was somebody somewhere in a basement just going, hard work, hard work, into a microphone. Hard work. The only thing he was able to hear, apparently, through that earbud.
If that's what he did with the receiver, imagine if they took it away.
Yeah. But, so I'm not saying that this is true or anything like that. I'm just sort of saying that's another idea that's out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been reading blogs a lot this week for reasons I won't even go into, but more than I usually do. And it is amazing how many completely parallel universes of truth there are out there. And they are invariably talking about things that the rest of us are not talking about.
Here's Pete in Enfield. Pete.
Yes. I just want to question where you got the impression that Cheney said there was a connection between Iraq and 9/11. All of the statements that have ever been made by Cheney or Bush never made a direct connection between Iraq and 9/11. They did make a connection, but...
You still there? Where'd he go?
They shut his transmitter off.
This is his transmitter, yeah. Is he still there?
No, I guess not.
Well, I mean, that's...
Something happened.
That's silly. I mean...
he's been quoted a number of times.
He said it over and over again. Especially by repeatedly citing the possibility that Mohammed Atta met with an Iraqi official, which is a theory that's disputed by the September 11th Commission. But even after the September 11th issued its report saying that, Cheney continued to emphasize that fact. But he's... you know, repeatedly suggested that, and gone to, you know, multiple efforts to leave that impression on people.
Kelly on a cell phone. Kelly, hello.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging? Need
you. And now we're going out to our special New Hartford retail correspondent. It's Mary from New Hartford joining us live via satellite. What's up?
Your co-hostess, huh?
What's up?
Well, I was listening to the mayor of West Hartford.
What's up, Shorty?
And I thought he did very well
mm-hmm.
his presentation. But I don't know whether he knows it or not, but many people in West Hartford opposed the farm, West Farms Mall.
The farm?
Why, they fought that terribly. My sister was one of them. And they just thought that was going to be the worst thing that was going to happen.
We lost a lot of good men in that fight. Good men.
I'll tell you. Now, you know that all these shops in the center of New Hartford, or West Hartford, they are thrilled that it will be coming in because it will bring more people into the area. And so I think it will be a tremendous asset for the community.
You are so real, baby girl.
They're going to have new roads, I understand, and what have you.
Yeah.
But listen, I wanted to ask you something. You know, I got to hear our friend Bacewich at a party.
Bacewich? You mean Suzanne Bacewich?
No. Bacewich. How do you pronounce it?
I'm not sure. Bacewich. No.
Jim.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
Yeah. A lot of people confuse his name with this gal.
Yeah, it's Jim Bacewich. And then Susan Bacewich.
They think she's related.
No, I don't know. I can't. Who could say?
Anyway,
it's complicated.
I missed his program, but I understand he had a very good show.
Who?
Today.
Susan Bacewich had a good show?
Would you please tell us about it?
I don't listen to this Susan Bicewicz show.
No?
No.
Jim's show.
Oh. No, I don't listen to that either.
I want to hear what he had to say about Shay.
About Shay Guevara?
Shay was giving the lowdown on some scandal, so can you repeat it?
We don't know. We don't listen to the Buddy show. It frightens us.
Something to do with the
UN. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell at you.
Something to do with the UN, though.
The UN?
Yeah.
Oh. I bet you it was a great show, and I would recommend it to anyone interested in the subject.
Maybe somebody will call in and tell us what it's all about.
No, I don't think so.
No?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, okay.
All right. I think, if you know, the Buddy Bicewicz show, either you hear it or you don't.
Bicewicz.
What is it?
I don't know how you spell it.
Me neither. All right, we have to go. Wanted back on the home planet.
That was enlightening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's lightning in there somewhere.
Yeah.
As part of it.
I wish that nobody had even brought up Susan Bicewicz because I'm still hurting.
Oh, that's right.
I'm still in pain. Yeah.
That's right. Is she called back?
Nope. Nope.
Since that little thing we had the other day here, she hasn't called us back or me.
I spent a good chunk of the weekend under a blanket sobbing because I thought we had this like special relationship. She was going to announce her candidacy on our show. You remember as I do. She actually sat on the air.
Yeah,
she would
absolutely
announce her candidacy on our show, and then that didn't happen.
Of course, it was under some rather intense pressure, as I do recall, but nonetheless.
Yeah, we put her on the spot, yes.
Yeah.
But I still feel used. I feel soiled and dirty.
I think you should.
Yeah, I think I should, too.
Art in a car. Art.
Did Bicewicz announce her candidacy yet?
Yes, she did.
I thought she just had an exploratory or something.
No, she's got something else now.
Oh, she did? And she didn't do it on your show?
No, hard to believe
it. After all the free publicity you gave her?
Hard to believe it.
That's how we feel like such tools.
I mean, really. And you're a very friendly host to her, you know?
Yeah, we feel like, not anymore, we're not. Well, things are going to change from now on. You know what? We're going right into the heart of darkness now. We're going to support Kevin Sullivan.
You know, when you first started, you did that when you were Rush Limbaugh for a week. You remember they used to do that?
Yep.
Back in your morning show. Maybe should do that once in a while. Maybe that'll get her going.
Whatever happened to that morning show?
They canceled my ass.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But let me just say this. We are thinking about supporting Kevin Sullivan for governor. Now, that's like supporting like the character Marlon Brando plays at the end of Apocalypse Now. That's like supporting some gigantic person with a diaper on holding a severed head in a bamboo cage or something.
Walk around saying,
that's how desperate we are to have somebody to support. But I think Kevin might actually make a pretty good run at this. I didn't think so before. But he kind of has emerged.
It's only a couple of points.
He's really smart, Kevin, in a sort of Dr. Evil way.
Politician.
Yeah. Anyway, what were you calling him? You know, I did not need Gary Sheffield to tell me not to use that cream that Barry Bonds lends you. Barry Bonds loaned me a couple of years ago some honey cream. I wound up with a hemorrhoid the size of an adult Wolverine. It's time for Sports à Trois, the very French sports discussion segment. Avec Monsieur Arnold Dean, Monsieur Bruce Stevens, and myself, the Ouigas Grand La Mer.
This is your fault, Bruce.
What?
You opened this bike.
Oh, really?
You started the whole thing.
An adult Wolverine.
Have you been following this Gary Sheffield Barry Bonds thing? It is hilarious. First of all, they sound like, they sound like a couple of guys from the Cosgrove Full. At one point, like, one of them is claiming the other one's limousine driver drove too slow, and they like all these little bitchy things they're tearing each other apart about. But what it really comes down to is like the teenage kid's worst drug excuse. Yeah, well, you know, my friend loaned me some of this stuff. I didn't know it had drugs in it.
Well, he had a problem with his knee, and they told him you can rub this cream on it, it'll make it feel better. So, you know, he probably thought it was like Asper cream or something.
Yeah.
But, and it would show
then
up.
His knee felt really, really good. Well, what tipped him off?
Then he wanted to know what was wrong with the rest of his body.
That's right.
Here's some of this cream for internal use.
All right, that's, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
It is really one of the more amusing little facts.
Did you...
And he beat him by 5 tips.
You following all this? He's throwing a lot of information at us. And then the golf analogy we had to go through.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. We're tired.
Next thing you know,
he's been on the air for 2 hours. You're fresh as a daisy.
Yeah. Next thing you know,
I've been listening. You guys should be fresh.
We're exhausted.
He's going to be comparing Ichiro to Iraq here in a minute somehow. He's going to make that connection.
I don't talk Iraq.
All I know is this guy is an incredible player.
He is.
Incredible hitter.
Yeah. I mean, no matter what kind of cream he uses.
Stop right there.
I don't care if he's just one big steroid at this point. I mean, whatever he is, he really can hit the ball pretty hard.
I think, though, unfortunately,